Welcome once again to Landmarks for Living. This is Richard Melson, evangelist at the Need More Road Church of Christ. This is a radio ministry where every listener is encouraged to not only read, but study their Bible daily. According to Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11, God is indeed concerned what you think. God is indeed concerned what you do. Today's broadcast is on November the 16th, 2025. Please check out our website at www.needmoreroadcoc.com. Past broadcasts of Landmarks for Living are archived at our website. Past issues of the Edifier newsletter are available. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We would love for you to visit with us on Sundays at 2211 Need More Road, Bible study at 9:30 a.m., worship at 10:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. We meet again for Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. I appreciate everyone who listens to Landmarks for Living each Sunday morning on 98.7 FM or WGNZ AM 1110 or FM 104.3. You may also listen to us by streaming online at thesoulofdayton.com or WGNZ.com. Friends, since the start of this program, the emphasis has not changed. It is to teach only that which is authorized by God in the Bible. If you have a question about anything that is taught during our broadcast, please write to us so that we can supply a Bible answer to your Bible question. You may write to us at Landmarks for Living, care of the Needmore Road, Church of Christ, 2211 Needmore Road, Dayton, Ohio, 45414, or email me at dr.rdmelson@nmrcoc.com. Beloved, the Bible is the only approved standard for authority today in all matters of morality, ethics, and religion, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, do not move nor remove the divine landmarks. We dare not step outside the sphere of divine authority and then try to pretend that we are walking by faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Friends, keep this in mind. The way we treat the Scriptures, the Bible, God's Word, is the way we treat the Lord. Dayton, are you listening? I hope that you have learned from our earlier studies that the Scriptures are the complete, sufficient, error-free source of truth. As such, Jehovah issued forth warnings in both the Old and the New Testaments. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2 in the Old Testament, and Revelation chapter 22 verses 18 and 19 in the New Testament. God's Word is all the truth necessary for the genuine spiritual life, and it completely meets all the spiritual needs of mankind. Dayton, are you listening? You know, we have been looking at God's Word and challenging ourselves to respond appropriately to that which our Heavenly Father has instructed us therein. Back in 1979, James Dobson published a book called The New Hide or Seek. It was originally published in 1974. I think I may have given you the wrong date. Then he published a new edition. It was Benjamin Franklin who wrote his own epitaph, and Franklin said this, "The body of Benjamin Franklin, printer, like the cover of an old book, its contents torn out and stripped of its lettering and gilding, lies here, food for the worms. But the work shall not be lost, for it will, as he believed, appear once again in a new and more elegant edition, revised and corrected by the author." Close quote. So wrote Benjamin Franklin. It was our Lord who said in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, "Marvel not at this, For the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. And they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. John 5:28-29. Paul reminded the church at Corinth in these words, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 57. These promises are only to those who are in Christ our Lord. Paul would say in Galatians chapter 3, 26 through 29, "Ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Galatians 3:26-29. You know, the question that we each must ask, and we go back to the beginning of these thoughts, and that is, am I ready for the author's, meaning God's, second edition? Something to think about as we turn our attention into John 7. John 7. And in John 7, there is in the early section a very challenging verse found at verse 7. And John 7:7, the Lord says, "The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil." By way of introduction for our thoughts for today, we are reminded that this is a challenge that comes from the brothers of our Lord to him. Let's read now verses 1 through 7 of John chapter. Well, we're going to read actually through verse 9 for context sake. "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brothers, therefore, said to him, 'Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world.' For even his brothers did not believe in him." And that's an important thrust the Holy Spirit wants us to understand there in verse 5. "Then Jesus said to them, 'My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. You go up to this feast. I am not yet going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come.' When he had said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. Let's look and observe some important principles that might help us understand the key thoughts of verse number 7 and maybe some things in the also following context. After the events that we find in chapter 6 of John, where Jesus has performed this great miracle, he's fed thousands with the 5 loaves and the fishes. Then he walks on the water, he had the 5. So there were John 6 verse 9, the 2 small, the 5 barley loaves, and the 2 small fishes, he reminded the disciples of why he came, and not to provide this physical food, but to provide them with the food. He was the bread of life. He was the bread of heaven. And so after these events chronicled in John chapter 6, the text says that Jesus walked. And here, that verb there in John chapter 7 and verse number 1 suggests a sustained period of time, in essence, in Galilee, the northern region of the land. It has been suggested that this was because the Jews kept on seeking to kill him, and their hostility was increasing and in the area of Judea, and therefore Jesus was not ready to go in that direction. Since the Feast of the Tabernacles and this feast day, Jewish feast time, September through October was near, and the Passover had just transpired. We learned this from back in John chapter 6, verse number 4. This indicates approximately that 6 months passed between the end of John chapter 6 and the beginning of chapter 7. So as John 6 ends, and when it says Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. That's the end of John 6, and then when it opens in what we know as John 7, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. As I said, that indicates that approximately 6 months had passed between these two chapters. The Feast of Tabernacles celebrated the harvest season and commemorated God's care for his people during the wilderness wandering. And what we learn from the Old Testament is that this feast lasted for 7 days, and the people lived in huts constructed of tree branches. And I would suggest, if you want to get some background, you could look at Leviticus chapter 23, beginning at verse 39 following, and cross-reference that with Deuteronomy 16, verse 13 following. Now, it's important to understand that that was a feast for the Jews. It is not a feast for today. No one is commanded to keep that feast time. And so we should not even try to imitate it. It's not for us. Dayton, are you listening? As we continue in John chapter 7, we observe that Jesus's brothers urged him to go to Jerusalem so that, quote, his disciples. And it's interesting to note that they did not include themselves in that circle. Note what he says, what John writes in verse number 3. His brothers therefore said to him, "Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. These individuals, his brothers, did not believe that Jesus was God's messenger. They did not believe that Jesus was God's man. No, they were still of the world. They argued that if one desired to be known openly, their words, as they assessed the circumstance with reference to their celebrated brother, he would not operate, quote, secretly. Thus they pressed him. In verse 4, for no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. John plainly explains that even his brothers did not believe him. Look, verse 5. For even his brothers did not believe in him. You know, sometimes you hear people oftentimes say, oh, you know, if I had lived back in the time of Jesus when he was walking on the earth, I would believe in Jesus. Here are individuals who saw him every day. Not only were they his kinsmen of the flesh, but they were his physical brothers. And yet they did not believe him. The Lord responded that, verse 6, that his time had not yet come. He then rather sharply rebuked his stubborn brothers, declaring, quote, the world hates me because I testify its works are evil, but the world cannot hate you, according to verse 7. Now, this is the important point I want us to get, because it's imperative for us, especially for those who are in Christ, who are listening to the broadcast. Jesus says, and the implication of this is that you, meaning my physical brothers, have not identified with me. In essence, Jesus says, you have not become my disciples. You are not believers. You have not identified with me. Therefore, you are of the world, and the world loves its own. Dayton, are you listening? Christ then told his brothers to go on up to the feast, but regarding himself, he said, I am not going up to this feast because my time is not yet fulfilled. Jesus was simply emphasizing the fact that it's not, you go on up, I will in essence come at a later time, or in essence, I'm not going to come up there openly, I will come quietly. I'm not coming for a bunch of pomp and circumstance, but I will come and fulfill my responsibilities as a Hebrew male should do. The point that I want us to understand and for us to think about right now, and that is this. The world hates me because I testify its works are evil. God's people, because of our relationship to the Heavenly Father through the Lord, must be people who do not identify with the world, but who identify with God. We're told that we are to be different. We're to be distinct, a holy people. You know, when you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, the goal is now to be changed, to be molded after our Lord. And so we're to put off the things of the world and put on the things that belong to God. And as Jesus said to his brothers there in verse 7, he says, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. If we as the people of God are unwilling to expose the unfruitful works of darkness, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. If we as people of God are unwilling to tell the world that its works are evil, if we are unwilling to identify with God, if we are unwilling to be holy as He is holy, if we are unwilling to be people of the book, if we are unwilling to be people who are people who walk in the light as He is in the light, then the world won't hate us, but the world will love us, and we'll receive our reward now. But God's people must stand for the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 17. God's people must not compromise with the world. Jesus would say later in his prayer that we are in the world, but we are not to be of the world. John would then be inspired to pen, love not the world or the things that are in the world. For all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. These are not of the Father, but they are of the world, and the world is passing away with the lust thereof. 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. We cannot love the world. Dayton, are you listening? God expects His people to be individuals who will take a stand for the Lord. Individuals who will do that which is right. Not do that which is convenient. Who will do that which is full of righteousness. Just as Paul preached in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. He preached to Drusilla and Felix about righteousness, about self-control and judgment to come. The brothers of our Lord. Oh, they thought that if he should go up to Jerusalem and should go up and through all the pomp and circumstances and then perform miracles and all this other stuff to be seen of men. But Jesus knew that that was not his purpose. His purpose in working the miracles was to confirm God's message. It was to produce faith based upon here's God's word. But even his brothers did not believe him. And so they failed to understand that it was not his time. Too many individuals still miss the mark even today. We must not love the world. Are we willing as individuals who say that we wear the name of Christ to truly be identified with him? Do we uphold the values that Jesus upheld? Are we willing to be identified as his disciples? Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, he made this observation in the Beatitudes that this is what it is going to be like to be a citizen of the kingdom. He said, "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. You know, Jesus makes a number of important things, but don't overlook this statement that he says verse number 12. "For great is your reward in heaven." You see, when we identify with the Lord, our reward is not here on the earth. We're not looking to get a plaque. We're not looking to get some medal. We're not looking to get some pat on the back and have our names put up in lights. But the reward that we will receive if we identify with the Lord is, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." We will receive the crown of life that fades not away. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and you shall receive the crown of life. The reward is heavenly, not earthly. You see, there are those who are looking for their reward here on the earth. And if that's what you're looking for, you'll find it, but you will not find the reward in heaven. Because you will not be one who identifies with the Lord, but rather you'll be one who has identified with the world. Dayton, are you listening? You know, as we prepare to wrap up today's broadcast, and my, how this month, not only the year, but here we are in the start of the third week of November. The third week in November. The year is rapidly drawing to a close. Dayton, are you listening? We hope that you will consider the words of our Lord and desire to identify with Him. Now, the only way you can identify with the Lord is through His gospel. There's no other way. Jesus said He is the way to the Father. He is the way, the life, the truth, and no one can go to the Father except through Him. You must believe that Jesus is the answer, that He is the Son of God. Beloved, it does matter what you think. Beloved, it does matter how you think. God's plan of redemption requires faith, repentance, confession of faith, and immersion in water. If we can assist you and help you to identify with the Christ, reach out to us. Dayton, I hope you are listening.